I want us to take an honest, rational, intelligent look at Christianity. An honest, rational, intelligent look at Christianity, at what Christianity is. Scripture demands that as followers of Jesus, as Christians, that we need to be ready to give an answer when people ask us about our faith. Look what Peter writes. Peter says this, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." And in a culture that's more and more secular, we need to be ready to give answers to people when they ask us hard questions about our faith. You know, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this series. We're doing this series to equip you to give honest, thoughtful, rational answers to your friends and family who aren't yet Christians. Questions about God and questions about the Christian faith aren't something to fear. And people that don't believe like you believe aren't something to fear either. And they're not the problem with society either. I heard a story this week of an Iranian man that was a Muslim. And he heard about a Christian church that was gathering in the middle of a city. He described himself as irate. He said he was a fanatic. As soon as he heard about this thing happening, as he had friends and people he knew that were Muslims, they were coming to this Christian church. They were searching out, what does the scripture say? They were searching and discovering who Jesus was. And the crazy thing that was happening is people were coming to faith in Jesus. When he heard this, he couldn't believe it. And he gathered friends and people. And what they literally did is they stood outside the church and they tried to disrupt what was happening inside the church. When people would walk up to the church, they literally would yell at them and say, "Don't go in there. Don't do that." And can you imagine walking in the church and somebody on the sidewalk this morning saying, "Don't you go in there." Like, what? That's what they did. But the crazy thing about this man is as he did that, week after week, he started having some questions in his mind about Christianity. And he started asking these people questions about their faith. And this is what he said. He said, "As I asked these Christians who I hated questions about Jesus and questions about their faith, they answered my questions intelligently and honestly, and they did it with love." They answered my questions with love. That was in the early 90s. Let's fast forward to 2017. This man has not only became a Christian because of that, but has started multiple Christian churches in the Middle East. Why? Because there were some followers of Jesus, some Christians that had some rational answers when their faith was challenged. And they had some conversations with people that believed completely different. And they did it in a loving, kind way. As we start this series, I think it's so important that we understand what Christianity is. Because I think sometimes what we have been led to believe is that Christianity is nothing more than rules. It's nothing more than ideas. It's nothing more than beliefs. But what Christianity really is Christianity is based on a person. His name is Jesus. We call him Jesus Christ. And that's why we call it Christianity. Christianity is not based on a set of beliefs. It's based on a person named Jesus. And over the centuries, we've all read about people that have misused Christianity. Maybe you've experienced somebody that's misused Christianity. They've taken it to beat you over your head with their rules. Or they've taken it to try to manipulate you to do what they think you should do. And what's happened? We've turned our back on that because we've said, if that's Christianity, if Christianity is belittling people and Christianity is trying to manipulate people and Jesus hates people, then that's not for me. But friend, what if that's not what Christianity is at all? Christianity is Jesus. And today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask the question, who is this man? Based on what he said with his own lips and based on the life that he lived. Who is Jesus? It's a fair question to ask. This is a man that split time in half. This is a man whose teachings we still talk about today. This is a man whose moral character was impeccable. This was a man who made an incredible impact on this world. Who was he? Well, based on what Jesus said, and based on the life that Jesus lived, he could only have been one of three things. Either Jesus was a liar, either Jesus was a lunatic. I mean, he was crazy outside of his mind. We're going to look at what he said. Or Jesus was the Lord. And that's only, there's only one of three options that Jesus could have been. But if Jesus was the Lord, I'm not telling you right now that he's Lord. We're going to talk about some of these things. But if he really was Lord, then that demands that you make a decision. If Jesus really was who he said he was, then that demands that every one of us make a decision, because that is a truth that you can't ignore. If Jesus was who he said he was, would you do this? Would you give me 20 minutes and explain rationally, intelligently, from the life and words of Jesus that he could only be one of those three things? Notice number one, Jesus possibly could have been a liar. No, he possibly could have been a liar. There's an outline in there. A lot of people say a lot of things about this man, but let's look at what he said about himself. We're going to be in the New Testament looking at the words that he said, specifically in John, and there's lots of scripture there that's listed in your outline. But in John chapter 10, Jesus has gathered around several hostile Jews. He's gathered around a bunch of people that hate him. He's gathered around people that want to destroy him. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to corner him. They're saying, Jesus, who are you? Tell us who you are. Because if Jesus would tell them that he was God, then that would give them right, according to the law, to stone him, because that was blasphemy. Look what Jesus says to them. He says, I and my Father are one. Now, look what the Jews do right away. They pick up stones again to stone him. Verse 32. Jesus says, answers them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. Jesus did all kinds of incredible stuff. They couldn't deny that. So he says, which of these works do you stone me? Are you going to stone me because I fed your family? Are you going to stone me because I healed people? Why are you going to stone me? The hostile Jews, this is what they said. For a good work, we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Man, how's that for a bad day? Somebody's like, who are you? You tell them who you are, and they say, all right, we're going to kill you. I mean, that's not a very good day. There was another time when the same type of people, they were gathered around. The Jews were speaking to him about the founder of their Jewish race, which is Abraham. Abraham was somebody that lived hundreds of years before. He was somebody that they all loved, somebody they all revered and respected. It would be like, as Americans, if we were to talk about like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, their Abraham was even a much higher level than that. And this is what Jesus says about this person, Abraham. Jesus says, verily, verily, that's just Bible words for truly, truly. Truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now they knew what he was saying, because none of them were alive before Abraham. Abraham lived hundreds of years before. But he says, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, I was alive before Abraham. I am God. And what did they do because he said that? They did the same thing. They took up stones again to cast at him. There was another time in John chapter 5. Everybody there had an understanding that you worship God. Jewish culture was very religious. We live in a culture today that's very secular in a lot of ways. Jewish culture was very religious, and they believed wholeheartedly in worshiping God. This is what Jesus says. He says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. In other words, just like you honor God, the Father, you should be honoring me just like him. Those words in this culture were a no-no. Because Jesus is saying, I am equal to God. In Matthew chapter 18, many of his followers, these were people that loved Jesus. Jesus said, who do you think I am? Peter says, I think you're the Messiah. I think you're the Son of God. And this is what Jesus says. He says, blessed are you. Jesus had an opportunity to say, no, I'm not the Son of God. Don't call me that. That's not who I am. This is what Jesus does. Rather than condemn him for saying that, he affirms him and he says, blessed are you. Let's suppose that Jesus knew that he wasn't God, but he told everybody that he was God. Then he was a deliberate liar and he deliberately deceived his followers. And if he was a liar, then Jesus was also a hypocrite because he taught others to be honest at whatever the cost. You know, a lot of people would say that Jesus was simply a great moral teacher, but how could he be a great moral teacher and knowingly mislead people at the most important part of his teaching, who he was? In Alabama, football is everything. How many of you guys have been to Alabama? Anybody been to Alabama? Okay, a few of you guys have been to Alabama. In Alabama, football is everything. High school football is a really big deal. In fact, high school football is such a big deal. I was looking it up last week. There are multiple high school football coaches that do nothing but coach football, and they make over $100,000 a year. So if you want a better job, hey, coach football and move to Alabama. But football is big in Alabama, and there's a notable school. It's Hoover High School, and there was a coach that led them to 5 state championships in his first 9 years of coaching, and they were such a highly prolific program. And they actually did an ESPN documentary about this school, Hoover High School. But it came out in 2007 that the revered, respected, high-paid coach was living a double life. Everybody knew that this man had a family and he had 3 kids. But what nobody knew is that he actually had another family. There was another woman that he was involved with for over 10 years, and he had a child with her. In the evenings, when he would tell his real family that he was working late at the office, really he was spending time with his other family. And then he would go home later on after that. Well, eventually everything came out in 2007. And shortly after that, he was fired. He was disrespected. His name was placed in national headlines. And this man that had done so much good in the community, that had taught these boys about having character and had taught these boys about living an honorable life and taught these boys about making a difference in the world, was completely outcasted because he lied about who he was. You see, when somebody lies about who they are, we lose respect for them. It overshadows all the positive things that they do and all the positive things that they say. And if Jesus wasn't God, then he was lying about the most important thing about him, and he should be completely disregarded. Many of the early followers of Jesus, they ended up giving their life for their belief that Jesus was the Son of God. And if Jesus knew that he wasn't the Son of God, then he deceived people into dying for a lie. Good moral people don't deceive people to die. And that's exactly what Jesus did. If he knew he was God, or if he knew that he wasn't God, but he lied about it. And not only would Jesus be deceiving people, but his claims of being God ultimately cost him his life as well. Today, if somebody says that they're God, we just write them off as a weirdo. It's like, you say you're God. Okay, you're a weirdo. Keep the small children away from this guy. There's a chemical imbalance going on in his brain. But in this culture, if you claim that you're God, it costs you your life. And Jesus claiming to be God is what separates him from every other major religious leader that started major religions. Everybody says, well, Christianity is the same as them. No. This is one of the fundamental differences. Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, you name them, they never claimed to be God, but Jesus did. And Jesus went a step further by saying, the foundation of everything I'm telling you, it isn't based on everything I'm telling you, it's based on me. Everything I'm telling you is not based on what I'm telling you, it's based on who I am. To say, if Jesus really wasn't God, then we have to say that he possibly could have been a liar. But to conclude that Jesus was a deliberate liar doesn't coincide with what we know about his life or the results of his life and teaching. Wherever the name of Jesus has been proclaimed, marriages have been restored. People have been given purpose. Alcoholics have become sober. Hateful individuals have become loving, and unjust people have embraced justice. There's a second possibility. Maybe he wasn't a liar, but maybe number two, he was a lunatic. Maybe Jesus was just crazy. Maybe he mistakenly thought he was God. After all, have you ever been sincere about something, but sincerely wrong? For example, I'm a 49ers fan. I'm a football fan. We're 0-3 right now. Listen, I was hoping for an 8-8 season, okay? I was optimistic. I was thinking, you know, maybe we at least would win one game at this point, and I was sincere about it. And some of you guys gave me a bad time about it because you guys were like, the 49ers are going to be terrible this year. And I was like, no. I think Kyle Shanahan's going to do it. But guess what? I was sincere, but I have been wrong, at least so far. Maybe they'll make an incredible comeback. I doubt it. Have you ever been convinced of something, but you were wrong? No elbows, all right? Some of you elbowing your spouses, no. Have you ever been convinced about something, but you were wrong? Maybe Jesus really thought he was God, but he wasn't. Consider this. Jesus told thousands and thousands of people that their eternal destiny was dependent on their faith in him. If I open up the service this morning, I said, hey, before we get started today, just one minor note you want to keep in your mind. I'm God. You guys would be like, let's head for the exit doors really fast. You're like, why did my friend invite me to this church? Because that guy up there is a weirdo. That guy is delusional. Maybe Jesus was delusional. Psychiatric pioneer Lawrence Cobb states that schizophrenic people are those who escape from the world of reality. For a mere man to claim that he is God would be a great retreat from reality. But even a casual observation about the life of Jesus, you would not come to the conclusion that Jesus was mentally disturbed. He said some of the most profound words in history. His teachings have changed thousands of lives. Clark Pinnock says this, was he deluded about his greatness? A paranoid, an unintentional deceiver, a schizophrenic? The skill and depth of his teaching support the case only for his total mental soundness. And I love how he says this part. If only we were as sane as he. It's irrational to conclude that Jesus was a lunatic based on how he helped people, based on the way he made a positive difference in the world, based on the life that he lived, based on what he taught. That doesn't come from delusional people. And even a rational secular professor, for them to conclude that Jesus was crazy would be completely intellectually dishonest. Jesus was either a liar, he was a lunatic, or he was Lord. He had to be one of those three things. He was either a liar, he knew he wasn't God, but he lied to everybody about it. He was a lunatic, he really thought he was God, but he wasn't. Or he was who he said he was. Consider not only what Jesus said about himself, but consider the characteristics that scripture attributes to him that say he can only be true of God, that can only be true of God. He was self-existent. He was omnipresent. He was everywhere. He was all-knowing. He was all-powerful. He could forgive sin. These are attributes that only God has, yet Jesus had them. You see, you can't put Jesus on the shelf as just a good moral teacher or a prophet. That's not a rational option as popular culture would lead us to believe. And if you're a skeptic in here, I'm not trying to get you to become a Christian today. I'm not trying to get you to do that. Some of you guys are like, he really just said that. I'm trying to get you to be rationally honest with yourself. That Jesus could only be one of those three things. That he could only be a liar or a lunatic or a Lord or Lord. Consider what C.S. Lewis said. I wrote this down. This is great. He says, I'm here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept him as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we cannot say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man, Jesus, was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something even worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. Let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being just a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. You know, Jesus came to this earth ultimately to die for us. If Jesus truly was God, if he truly was who he said he was, then he is the way that we can have a relationship with God. He came to pay for the sins of all humanity. He came because he loved us so much. And this is what he says. He says, if you'll turn away from your self-centered focus and your self-reliance on yourself and put your faith in me, then you can have eternal life in a relationship with God. You see, your decision about Jesus must be more than just an idle intellectual exercise. It must be more than just a head knowledge. It has to move down from your head to your heart. Notice what John writes in the scripture. He says, but these things are written. John says, all that I've written to you, this is why I've done it, for one reason. And he wrote 20 chapters. He wrote quite a bit. He says that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Son of God. And that believing that you might have life through his name. John says, this is why I've written all this stuff to you. So you'll believe that he was Lord. That's why I've done that. Who is he? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Was he Lord? I want us to watch a short video from Kirk Cameron, a famous atheist, famous actor of Growing Pains. I'm sure many of you watched the show. And how God got a hold of his life and how God has done a great work in him. And after that video, we'll wrap up the message if we can show that at this time.
Self-righteous atheist in Hollywood. I didn't go to church. I did not believe in the existence of God. I denied it until I was about 17 years old. Someone took me to church, which was right in the middle of the success of Growing Pains. So it was right at the height of all the popularity, of everything being given to me and people basically treating you as though you are God. And I went home with so many questions that I couldn't answer. I wondered, how did the universe get started? What happens when you die? Is there an afterlife? Is there anything that really matters in the world besides survival of the fittest? It was a real challenge to my ego to consider the claim of Christ that he alone is good, that he alone is God, and that I am a sinner in desperate need of a savior. And it was really just coming to grips with the fact that I was part of the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 people die. I work with kids who have cancer and die at 6 years old, 8 years old, and I'm 18 now at this point. And so I found myself in the sports car that I owned at 17 years old on the side of a road, thinking about the fact that I would die one day. I didn't want to have to answer for that. Something had shifted in terms of the attitude of my heart. It went from pride and me first and I'm the celebrity to humility, understanding that the God of the universe could snuff out my life any moment, and I was not the celebrity in that relationship. I finally just said, you know what? I want to know the truth. Whatever it costs me, I want to know the truth. God, speak to me. And he did. He did through the gospel. He did through his word. He did through friends. He did through church. And he did through transforming me from the inside out.
As we wrap it up today, one of three applications, one of three things that every person in this room can do. Number one, put your trust in him. If you've never become a Christian yet, today Jesus invites you to put your entire faith and trust in him if you've never done that. Maybe you've been thinking about this. Maybe intellectually you know who Jesus is. I have some great friends that I love so much, and they believe everything I've said about Jesus. That they believe everything that Jesus said about himself. They believe that he was Lord. But they haven't come to the place where they put their faith in him, where they've given him their life, where it's gone from their head to their heart. And maybe that's where you are today. Today, I invite you to put your faith in Jesus. Look, Jesus is a relational God. He's for you. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. And if you've never done that, today, I invite you to put your trust in him. Number two, maybe your step is to take your faith more seriously. Maybe you've already put your faith in Jesus, but you aren't following him like you should. You're playing games and you know it. You've justified your actions. You've justified your lack of seriousness about your faith. You know life is busy, and maybe that's what you've used. And Jesus comes to you as your Lord and says, hey, stop messing around. I'm not somebody that you have in your back pocket that you pull out. Jesus says, no, you need to follow me because I am your Savior. And some of you are here today and you're a Christian, but today is the day that you need to start taking your faith more seriously. You need to start letting Jesus change your life. You need to start spending time in the Word of God. You need to start following him. And some of you, you know all the Bible stories as much as I do, but it doesn't mean anything. Because Jesus says, listen, it's more about the love that we have for others, the life that we live. If you love me, then follow me, than it is to have a bunch of head knowledge. Let me say this too. The way people who aren't yet Christians know about Jesus, something that's going to bring them closer to becoming Christians, is by our lives. And if our lives are no different, then what are we doing? Maybe you're in here and your decision is that you need to take your faith more seriously. Because Jesus says, I am Lord. Number three, let's come back for the rest of the series. Keep investigating. Keep searching. Today, I've told you, I mean, I would like for you to become a Christian today, but that's not my goal. My goal is that you'll be intellectually honest that Jesus was either a liar, he was a lunatic, or he was Lord. But next week, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to say, how can we trust the Bible? How do we know the Bible is from God? How do we know the Bible is inspired? How do we know that? And that's what we're going to talk about next week. And I want to invite you to come back. I want to invite you to keep investigating, to keep asking questions. Here's the awesome thing. You can keep peppering truth with questions, and it's okay. Keep asking questions about Christianity. Keep on. Keep coming to this series. Do this. Just have an open mind. Just a little bit. You don't have to have a complete open mind, but just come back with just a little bit of an open mind and keep searching for truth. You might be surprised to discover that Jesus is the person you've been looking for your whole life. That a relationship with God, that's how you find purpose. That's where you find acceptance. That's where you find meaning. That's where you find worth. That's where so many of these things that you can't figure out, that's where things just kind of come together. It just might be through Jesus. Would you join me in a word of prayer this morning? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder who in here would say, today's the day I want to put my faith in Jesus. I believe that Jesus was who he said he was. I believe that he was God. And today, I want to put my trust in him. I've never done that before.